fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm here again today, one more day with Sister Ann Shields. Sister's the host of Food for the Journey, one of the most popular Catholic programs today on Catholic radio. She's been a guest here all week long, and I was able to kind of pull her into the program this week to have her actually tell us about her own personal story and some of the journey that she's been on, the Lord had brought her on. And each day, it's been very enriching and very inspiring. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program till today, before I ask Sister Ann to continue the story, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net at some point. All the programs are archived there, this week's shows, but also all her shows on Food for the Journey, my programs over the last year as well, from Fire on the Earth here, and lots of other wonderful stuff, a lot of free stuff to encourage you in your own journey, responding to the great call of the Lord that's not only on Sister Ann Shields and people like her and Father Michael Scanlon, but his call is on your life. You're personally called by the King to enter into everything that he has for you. And that's partly what Sister Ann's been unfolding for us this week of what it means and what it can look like. And so welcome back, Sister Ann.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's good to be here.
You know, you got us to the part where you were at Steubenville for that 75 to 83, and you guys built this whole summer conference process that's still going on today. And it's literally touched the lives probably of a million people or more over the years. And you think about everybody and all the conferences that have happened. But it started very simply, but there's something at the very core of it that back in the days when I touched it my first time, every conference you went to had a profound core of encountering Christ in life-changing ways.
Yes.
And people's lives were transformed. They just weren't informed in their heads.
Right.
Their lives were transformed.
Right.
And that's what you guys had deep conviction about.
Yes.
And what it was all about. Right?
Yes, we did have deep conviction because I think we haven't talked about this, and I think that one of the most important things I've spoken about, seeking the Lord, always bringing things to the Lord, but I think it's so important building a personal life of prayer with God, that that's what we brought together. We could each share what God had shared with us, in a sense, or an understanding, a deeper understanding. When we came together, we had something to share. And these are people at all ends of the spectrum, educationally, experience, every state in life was represented. It wasn't, well, priests are always like that, or it wasn't that. It was a group of people, married, single, celibate, different calls in life, different strengths, different weaknesses, but seeking him. And hearing the Lord and sharing that began to build such a, it's probably too strong to say a bank of wisdom, but it certainly gave us such experience and understanding of the ways, at least the beginning, of the ways in which God works.
But you know, as a guy who came as a young man on the receiving end, I think one of the things that grabbed me the most about what you guys taught and what you led us into was to say, the most important thing is not what you're supposed to do for God, but what God has done for you. And
that's
how
right.
many people over the years have said to you, I just didn't know. How many priests, how many sisters, how many lay people, you know, we're so conscious of what we're supposed to do, which
that's
is
right.
great,
right.
but we actually don't know, you know.
Right.
And that's what I felt like you guys had sort of pulled back the veil or something to see more clearly into.
Yes.
The gift that God wanted to bring to us to change our lives, to heal us, to free us, to strengthen us, you know?
Yes, when you said that, it reminded me of an experience at Steubenville in the priest conference, which was the first conference that was done at Steubenville and that grew from there. But the priest conference, and there was a priest who came to that conference who did not want to be there. And the background story is that it was a group of five women in his parish who saw him as worn out, disgruntled, just
struggling. Yeah.
And so they served him. They made sure no matter how he responded, he didn't even thank them. They just kept serving. And they wrote to me and just said, this is what we're doing, and we're going to buy him a ticket to come to the priest conference at Steubenville. And I thought, well, okay. So they did. And I think God just orchestrated it that way, that I had heard from these women and they had asked me to pray for them. So the first night of the conference of that particular year, I was on the campus and I was greeting people, and you see some returning priests that you've met over the for a year or two. But this priest was standing outside the tent. Now, the tent held a couple thousand people, you know, so we're talking big tent.
Big circus tent.
Big circus tent. Yeah. And he's standing outside the tent, and I said, "Hello, Father." And he said, "Well." And I said, "I've not seen you here before." And he said, "No." I said, "So how did you learn about the government?" "Oh, this group of women in my parish, they bought me a ticket. I didn't know, I couldn't say no. I don't know what this is all about, and I don't want to be here," etc. So I immediately made the connection that this was what this priest was part of that group that I had heard from. I said, "Well, Father, I will pray for you." "Yeah, well, yeah, no." It was just very grumpy, etc. So I did pray for him, and I didn't see him. In fact, he had said, "I think I'm going to leave." This was the first day of the conference, at the end of the first day, and he said, "I'm going to leave." And I said, "Well, Father, I'll be praying for you. I think it'd be good if you could stay, but we'll pray for you." And I just left it at that, prayed for him. The last night of the conference, that would have been Sunday through Thursday, so Thursday night of the conference, I saw him. And he was again in the same place outside the tent. And I thought, well, at least he made it this far, you know. And so I walked up to him, and he said, "Hello, sister." And it was just a very different man. And I said, "Father, how was the conference?" And he said, and he just, Peter, looked at me. And the tears just started coming down his face. I could cry now remembering that, because the physical transformation was so apparent. His face was so different. And he just looked at me and he said, "Sister, I never knew.
Yeah.
I never understood." I just gave him a big hug.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's that kind of thing that happened time and time and time again.
Yeah.
That all the graces we received in baptism and confirmation, we put the certificates in the suitcase, or not the suitcase, but in a bottom drawer, or we might frame them. But they're like past events,
yeah.
Rather than living realities, living, acting grace, God sharing himself with us, that God wants to do it every moment. I all the time, Peter, say, "Activate them, Lord." You go through a rough day or something like it, just, "Lord, activate the graces, baptism and confirmation, activate them." And I don't have the time here to say the power of the Eucharist. The power of the sacrament of reconciliation, all of those have a place. But I focus particularly right now on baptism and confirmation, because there are gifts God gives us to draw us to himself, mm-hmm. and then to allow us, and I use this word with care, to allow us to radiate that love. The more we give our lives to God, the more transparent we are with God, the more he can be manifested through us to
yeah.
other people.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. We said that on the program the other day, but it's just something that all through the years has been an awesome privilege for me. It doesn't ever grow tired, because what is it? With Christ, everything is new. Now all is new. It's never a past thing. It's the newness, the presence of Christ right now in the heart of everybody listening to this program. If you've been baptized, Christ dwells within you. Does he have a central place in your life?
Yeah.
Do you turn to him? Do you believe that this is real? Not just, quote, an article of faith that you memorize and keep in your memory bank. That's not that. It's a living reality today that God desires to gift us and to work through us to bring a people into union with one another. And most of all, all unity depends on our unity with him. This is what he wants.
Yeah.
We're coming into Mass on Sundays. Yeah, I've got to go to Mass. And some people are coming eager, but they don't quite even then know all that God wants to do in them and through mm-hmm. them. And God won't violate our free will. So he won't impose himself on us. But there's a call to us to yield to that. And that's what we ended up.
Yeah.
Speaking all over the world, practically, was the power of God.
As you described that priest.
Yes.
You know, so what would a older priest mean by, "I didn't know"? Over the years, we've heard that in so many cases, because right. we didn't know.
Right.
And I think it starts with, "I didn't know
right.
how much
God loved me. That's right. That's exactly, you and I didn't practice this.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. I didn't know that God, yes, he's the God of the universe, but he's also my God, my Father, my Savior, my Lord, and that he desires union with me. And who is he but the source of all love? Yeah. And the whole world is crying out for love. And we try to find it in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
And he's the center. He's the source. And he wants us to draw near to him. And it doesn't matter our past.
Yeah. In the bringing of, I mean, I think what you guys were on the forefront of was bringing the Holy Spirit to people in a new way. I mean, to helping people connect, let me put it that way, to have living contact with the Holy Spirit who gave power, who stirred up within them through the preaching of the word, through testimony and all the things you brought, a power and presence of God that healed them sometimes.
That's right.
Helped them understand that their sins were forgiven. The Lord's not beating them up, even after they went to confession and honestly did all the penance, and they're still beating themselves up, and they still can't stand themselves. And it just, all of that, I mean, that was a new thing. I think that's when when a grown man is standing there crying, saying, I didn't know.
Right, right.
That's what he's talking about.
It was all theoretical.
Yeah.
But it hadn't, as G.K. Chesterton says, and many of you have heard me say this, but the longest journey a man or woman takes is the 17, for G.K. it was, the 17 inches from the head to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when you can have information in your brain, but it's when it engages you, it's living, it engages you, it challenges you, it empowers you, it calls you on. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us if we allow him.
Yeah, no question. Sister, we just have 2 minutes left. I wonder if you could just share whatever you'd like, what's on your heart with our listeners, and maybe how they can come into that love more deeply themselves. And you can just take us out at the end of the program too. And okay?
All right. Brothers and sisters, if you've been listening to the programs this week, you see much more of the whole picture. And I, like Peter said, I really encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on Radio, Fire on the Earth, and you can listen to all of these programs again. And I really encourage you to do so, because I think in our world today, and especially in this country, though, so many countries listen to these programs. And I want to say for all of us, there's a need for greater hope. And not hope in the things that pass, but hope in the things that are eternal, so that we can have confidence in our countries, we can have confidence in the church, we can move forward as God wants us to become disciples, real disciples, that are out there preaching. Remember Peter, when he experienced the Holy Spirit, and here he was out there preaching to thousands of people. This Peter, who was so uneducated and was running away from and denying Christ. Here he is preaching once he had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Preached to what? 3,000 people in a day. So what I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, is this. God has baptized you in Christ, and he has given you of his Spirit that you might be true disciples, and that we together from all over the world might re-evangelize the world to come to him. Jesus, I ask in these closing moments that you would just give us the grace to hear your truth, to commit ourselves to it, and to follow you wherever you lead us.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.